Drop it. Panel, Jake Huger, John Iadarola, Bridget Todd's back with us. She's with Ultraviolet. That is a national organization for feminist cultural and political change. Yes, we need that. So Bridget, great to have you back.
I'm so excited to be here. Great way to start my weekend.
All right, excellent. John, it's also good to have you. Okay.
It's almost Saturday. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah. All right. So listen, guys, serious show, fun show. Human animal hybrids are coming. Fox is concerned. Women are not having enough babies. Fox is concerned. these clowns.
So what if they'd have babies, but they'd be half pig?
Wedge issue. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one to decide. So, but we have very serious issues too. Although, look, their cultural war against women is very serious. But we also have a totally nonsense so-called bipartisan compromise on infrastructure. We're going to break down how ridiculous it is. So stay right here for all the news.
Why are you against a realistic approach to infrastructure?
Oh, yeah. Realistic approach. By the
way, cinema just wants to be realistic.
Yeah, where your taxes go up and corporate taxes stay down, where it's you get no climate change legislation at all. And I can go on and on, and I will, but that's later in the show.
You will. Okay.
All right, take it away, John.
Well, let's go on about this before we go on about that. A new report by Amnesty International seems to show that Joe Biden's promise to restore the soul of the nation is avoiding the soul part near the border, because some of what's going on down at the southern border is pretty similar in effect to what Donald Trump was up to. They put out this report titled Pushed into Harm's Way. It was released earlier today, and it documents the Biden administration's effective continuation of its predecessor's policy of rejecting nearly all asylum seekers at official ports of entry along the US-Mexico border. So look, if you've been following us for the past few months, you know that we have been checking in both legislatively with what they're talking about potentially doing in terms of immigration reform, as well as what they have done and haven't done via executive orders and that sort of thing. So there have been some changes that have been positive that we've given the Biden administration credit for in the past. But some of what they're doing deserves a much closer look, and thankfully Amnesty International is doing that. They say that the new administration is misusing a provision of anti-trafficking legislation concerning Mexican unaccompanied children to deprive them of effective screenings for harm and to deny them access to asylum procedures. And so basically, it's a regulation that certainly has its place to avoid the possibility that kids are being trafficked across international lines, on international borders and that sort of thing. But that's not what is being done in practice. It's just being used as an excuse to bar their entry. There are requirements under the TVPRA, that's the regulation that we're talking about. In that, Customs and Border Protection officials are often not performing child protection screenings faithfully, appropriately, or with reasonable informed consent of the children, who often do not understand what is happening during the process. And thus far, and we'll get to some of the administration statements about this, this has been going on for months. It's resulting in a very large percentage of kids being rejected at the border with no consideration to their possible need for asylum. And that has just been going on. And Biden thus far doesn't seem to have much of a problem with it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so look, this is the problem with corporate media, because when corporate Democrats are in charge, and in the old days when there were corporate Republicans in charge, that hasn't happened in a while. The Trump is a weird hybrid, part human, part corporate. Mitch McConnell's purely Chimera. Corporate. Anyway, so when corporate Democrats are in charge, the press totally shuts down. So here's a story from The Intercept initially, then covered by Common Trees. These are independent progressive news organizations that are bringing you the reality of what's happening, and an Amnesty International report. There's no question that it's happening, right? But the rest of when Trump turns away kids at the border, oh my God, oh, terrible. Now that's true. That is true. I'm glad they did that. That was good journalism, right? Now when Biden does the same, But it's actually worse than that. What is the main criticism Kamala Harris faced when she did her "Do not come" speech? And by the way, it turns out it doesn't matter if you come, because we'll turn you away anyway, just like Trump did. And the press's main criticism was that she did not do a photo op at the border that the Republicans demanded. That's a right wing criticism. That's not a legitimate criticism. So the press has been horrible on this, if you ask me. Bridget, what do you think?
I agree. I think it's important to remember that it doesn't matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, that we need to have a humane immigration system. People have a right to seek amnesty, and turning away unaccompanied children is a violation of that right. And we should be trying to build a more humane immigration system that really honors that. I think that's what people voted for. People voted for a system that was going to be more humane. I think that you're exactly right that under Trump, some of the horrible things that happened in terms of immigration was covered quite a bit. I would like to see people continue to be outraged, even if there's a Democrat behind those policies.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the kids, about how this process works, how many it might be affecting. So as of right now, in recent history, about one in every three migrants and asylum seekers from Central America and Mexico is a child. And half of them are unaccompanied by family members or other adults. And so apparently something like 80% of those kids have family members waiting to receive them in the US. Okay, so many of them, the vast majority, have family members potentially that can care for them in the US. Something like half of them are effectively unaccompanied by anyone in their family, anyone they truly know, when they hit the border. So when they're turned away, and most of them are, according to this is a report in the Intercept, unaccompanied Mexican children were therefore returned to Mexico in approximately 95% of cases after being apprehended by US Border Patrol. So then what happens to the 50% of the kids who aren't there with family members? I honestly don't know. Does anyone know? Are we just hoping that the people who had accompanied them the last portion of the way to the border are what, looking out for them? They're gonna care for them? Is anyone checking in on the kids afterward? I feel fairly certain CBP isn't. And as we saw, something like 80% of those kids have family members here who in theory could care for them. Even if you were assuming that at some point they may be deported back to their country of origin rather than just being turned away at the border, that seems like a far more humane situation for those children.
Yeah. So John.
Definitely.
There's two different things here, policy and politics, right? So in terms of the policy, Biden still has the Trump policy of if you come as a family, we're gonna reject you carte blanche. Like, so that's why some of the families are actually coming up with the kids, and then the last couple of miles the kids are doing on their own because they know if they come as a family, they'll be rejected. That's also inhumane. We actually have laws in this country and we were supposed to apply them, and I think they're good laws. Now Republicans could argue against them, and that's a separate conversation, and that's a policy conversation. And I believe in democracy, and if they win, they win, right? But the laws that we currently have is that if you're coming in as an asylum seeker, well, then you go through a process, right? And by the way, a lot of those folks are rejected. So some of them are in imminent danger and they are accepted. And a lot of them, even if they're in a lot of danger but not imminent danger, are sent back. Okay, and you could, and by the way, you could be against that from the left and say that's way too harsh, right? But Biden's not even getting to that point. He's saying if you're coming as a family, no way, right? And if you're come as a family and then send your kids at the end, well, we'll pretend we're taking them in, but we won't take in most of them. Mm-hmm. And don't worry, now corporate media is behind me, so they won't question me on that at all. And we'll just do it in the dark of night and get away with it, right? Yeah. Now the politics of it. Now, did it help assuage Republicans at all?
Are they happy?
Yeah, are they? Do they look like they're like, oh, okay, Biden is being almost as draconian as Trump. Yay, Biden! Okay, that's right. We're all turning around. Turns out Biden's so moderate. He doesn't want these immigrants in the country any more than we do. It turns out he was lying about being humane about him. Yes, we love that he's inhumane. No, it hasn't earned him a single vote. So. And by the way, one more thing about politics. Republicans have this conspiracy theory that Democrats are bringing in all these immigrants. Tucker Carlson is the biggest advocate of this. Bringing in all these immigrants so they could vote for Democrats. Then why is Biden rejecting all of them? And the very few he lets in are minors who can't vote. Well, then why doesn't he let the families in who presumably eventually could vote? right? If your theory is that's the Democratic plan, why are they doing the opposite of the Democratic plan in a Democratic administration that you said you were positive was letting these immigrants in so they could vote for people like Biden?
Well, duh, you let the kids in now so that someday they'll be able to vote for President Hunter Biden. Obviously.
I mean, that's such a good point. I guess I feel that it does seem like Biden is kind of trying to capitulate to Republicans. And what difference does it make? They're never going to be on his side. He may as well go big when it comes to immigration and have a humane system that really works for more people instead of just trying to play it safe, because it's not really getting us anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand it's probably a little bit early for the first break, but this next block, when we get into Manchin and some of his corporate donors, and then the debate over whether democracy is in danger, is going to be a big one. So I think we should probably take our first break, and then we're going to dive into something massive after this.
I want to tell you about two things that are happening on June 18th. Number one, it's going to be our final call for Twitch Pitch applicants. So these are folks that we're looking to potentially give a show on Twitch to that are not part of our regular hosts right now. We want to give everybody an opportunity. We believe in that in TYT. So it's tyt.com/twitchpitch, and it's going to get closed on June 18th, and then we're going to announce during the show on June 21st, who the semi-finalists are. So all you gotta do is, well, you go to that URL, tyt.com/twitchpitch, and it'll show you what you gotta do. Quick video, that'll do it. And by the way, I've seen some of the videos, they're hilarious. So keep them coming, great, wonderful, okay? We believe in you guys. And so, I mean, what other show says, hey, we'd like to take the audience and make them hosts? And other folks that work here also came from the audience. All right, now, another thing on the 18th is Juneteenth. It's gonna be our third annual Juneteenth special. So the first hour is hosted by Ben Dixon. Second hour is hosted by J.R. Jackson. Joining them are Bridget Todd, who's on the show today, as you know, Kenya Evelyn, Joa B. Asamoa, Dr. James Simmons, Dr. Rashad Ritchie, Jason Carter, Charles Coleman, Wozni Lambre, and Wisdom Cole. And we're going to talk about reparations, diversity in politics, representation, voter outreach, and much more. That's at, as you can tell on the screen, 8 o'clock Eastern on June 18th. So make sure you're checking that. That's going to be amazing. By the way, on June 18th, all the profits from shoptyt.com are going to go to the NAACP. Okay, and so please check that out when you get a chance. Now, I'm gonna do YouTube super chat. Sean Umpleby writes in, Bridget! That's it.
I'll take it.
Yes, but he also writes right back in on super chat, says, Bridget, your video cut out on TDR when you answered my question. I still don't know your dragon name. Thank you, TYT family, great coverage. So, I don't know, do we have a dragon name yet, Bridget, or no?
It was Gender Justice Dragon.
Oh, Gender Justice Dragon. Okay, I like it. You know, Ultraviolet Dragon could have worked too, now that I think about it. But okay, God bless. Speaking of which, tell me what to put put in 1,234 bits and gifted a sub on Twitch, because that's what that's what they do every day. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Holy Beer Dragon, Beer Dragon gifted 10 subs. Thank you. We'll be back. TYT, Cenk, John, and Bridget with you guys. John's got more news for us.
I do indeed. Joe Manchin has really been asking for it this year, effectively saying, Joe Biden's not president, I'm president. I'll decide what you get to do and more importantly, what you don't, which is basically everything. And despite this, he hasn't really faced that much public criticism. It started a little bit this week. You had representatives like Jamal Bowman and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointing out the obvious influence that his corporate donors and his desire for donations has had on him. People have cited his past statements about the filibuster, where he seemed much more open to reform. Well, now people have been doing more digging and surfacing more information about the groups that have recently been trying to pressure him, as well as those who've been providing donations. So we're going to run through several of those, including Americans for Prosperity, a group backed by billionaire Republican donor Charles Koch, not generally thought of as a big supporter of the Democratic Party, but he's explicitly targeted Manchin in its pressure campaign, the Americans for Prosperity, to defeat the legislation. This is the For the People Act, even though their own data shows that provisions cracking down on dark money are highly popular, including among Republican voters. You can find online messages back and forth between them, recorded conversations where they talk about how difficult it is to craft a narrative that would get Republicans to oppose many of the provisions of the For the People Act. That did not cause them to do a bit of soul searching about why conservatives are so supportive of it. They're just going to try to get it killed without ever actually convincing people that it needs to be. You also have Heritage Action. This is the advocacy arm of the Koch-backed Heritage Foundation, which organized a rally earlier this year to pressure Manchin to oppose the bill. Heritage Action has also partnered with the American Legislative Exchange Council to craft model voting restriction laws for Republican state legislators. And so I believe we have a Heritage Action organizer on video. This was obtained by Mother Jones talking about one of these recent sorts of bills in Georgia.
Iowa was the first state that we got to work in, and we did it quickly and we did it quietly. Honestly, nobody noticed. At the end of the day, the bill that Governor Kemp signed and the Georgia legislature marshaled through had 8 key provisions that Heritage recommended. We're working with these state legislators to make sure they have all of the information they need to draft the bills. In some cases, we actually draft them for them, or we have a sentinel on our behalf give them the model legislation. So it has that grassroots, from the bottom up type of vibe.
Yeah, that's what we need in America, is we need a grassroots vibe, not grassroots action. We need vibe. We need some billionaires to hand legislation for Republicans to just sign off on. And that's apparently what they've been doing. And nobody even noticed.
Yeah, so there's so many parts of this that I love and hate. So that video couldn't have been any better. Sometimes the Sentinel will hand it to them, just because we weren't creepy enough. and it'll seem grassrootsy. Or like, look, guys, you get what John is saying, obviously, right? So they have no grassroots. These are giant corporate machines, and they fund these think tanks and these organizations. They then funnel the bribes, campaign contributions, to the politicians like Joe Manchin, and they call that the under the dome strategy, meaning we have lost any chance of winning in a democracy, so we have to go to under the dome of the Capitol, where we rule, where we have all of our corrupt senators, both Republicans and Democrats, to work for us, so we don't need the grassroots. Now, that's obvious. Pause to think about, wait, if the overwhelming majority of Republicans also want some of these bills, including $15 minimum wage, which huge majorities in West Virginia in particular won. By the way, a majority of the people in West Virginia, which went heavily for Trump, also want to get rid of the filibuster. Interesting. And 79% want the For the People Act that would actually clean up our democracy and our elections. Now, it's not surprising, actually. Republicans also want to clean up the elections because a lot of them genuinely think that there was something wrong in 2020, right? So they go, oh, well, this bill addresses anything that might go wrong, and it gets more people to vote. And Republican voters think that there's more on their side, so they're like, "What's wrong with more people voting? Let's do it, right?" Mm-hmm. But most importantly, it has anti-corruption measures, and Republican voters love anti-corruption measures, and so do Democratic voters. But so the interesting note here is, but none of the Republican politicians want what an overwhelming majority of what Republican voters want.
Yeah.
And then now we turn to Manchin, he's a Democrat. And they say, oh, Joe Manchin, he's got to vote against all these popular provisions because of West Virginia. But wait a minute, that 79% number is from West Virginia. He's voting as 4 out of 5 voters in West Virginia. Why is he doing that? Well, this report shows he's doing it because he's corrupt. It's not at all complicated, and it is not at all a hyperbole. After you voted against $15 minimum wage, both Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, after she did the swirling vote no and the curtsy and stuff, and he said, oh, no, yeah, I had higher wages. That's terrible, terrible for my corporate friends. I'm worried about my constituents. No, your constituents want it, definitely, overwhelmingly, right? You know what he did? They both curtsied over to the National Restaurant Association and collected their bribes. Now, they're legalized bribes in America, but they're definitely, definitely, definitely bribes. They just handed them checks. Good job, little boy, Manchin. Okay, Manchin's put tough guy, pushing all progressives around, all Democrats around. He's pushing Joe Biden around. He's open-handed slap boy. What are you going to do about it, right? But when he goes to the National Restaurant Association, he's a dog. He's a servant. He's like, I'm here. Where's my check? And then they did. They gave him a check. They gave him lots and lots of checks. So it turned out great for Joe Manchin. That's why the under the dome strategy works, because our politicians are corrupt. Now, the idiots in the mainstream media are like, what corporations? I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Corporate donations. And so now, by the way, so this particular story is, he says, the Koch brothers, Heritage Foundation, et cetera, first start spending money against them in West Virginia. Now, remember, corporate Democrats and corporate media says Joe Manchin cannot be pressured. He's a rock, right? They spend a tiny little money. He goes, I'm so sorry. And he does an op-ed with the exact talking points from the Chamber of Commerce. Like almost word for word saying, oh, the filibuster is dangerous and we need something bipartisan and I hate the For the People Act and I'm against it, right? Okay, what happens next? Chamber of Commerce just starts sending him checks. Now that's a different group. That's the collection of all the business, all the corporations, right? And they're like, good job, good boy. You wrote it exactly as we told you, dog. Write it again, dog. So who's the actual boss? It's not, certainly not Joe Biden. And it's not actually
He's
Joe.
He's not a good boy.
Yeah. And it's certainly, and it's not Joe Manchin. The actual boss is the Chamber of Commerce, the corporate machines. And finally on this, for now at least, look at what happens when you apply public pressure. Now here I get to say I told you. So I asked progressives in Congress, we elected the Just Democrats to be aggressive and not just on theoretical stuff, but to, yes, even though it's uncomfortable to call out your so-called colleagues. They call you out all the time. I mean, Ilhan Omar can say the most reasonable thing on planet Earth. Hey, maybe the International Criminal Court should adjudicate the cases in front of them, right? Oh my gosh, she's anti-American. Fellow Democrats pummel her, right? Mm-hmm. Now, finally, the Just Democrats did do it. Credit where credit is due. Jamal Bowman was the strongest on this, but then AOC also came in and rallied. And those two single-handedly said corporate agenda, started talking about corporate Democrats. And all of a sudden, look at this, the press is covering it. Because that's how public pressure works.
Yes. Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, including all of the impressions of Joe Manchin. You know, I think that people like to believe that because he's in a conservative state, he has to be like this. But as you said, his constituents want things like changes to the filibuster, raising the minimum wage, things like this. They support the For the People Act. And he is so out of step with the wants and the needs of his constituents. It's so obvious that he is not interested in actually governing or supporting their actual needs. He's interested in cashing corporate checks. It's so obvious. It's very simple. And it gets so frustrating, the amount of power, the grip that this one person has over our democracy, this person who is very clearly not interested in governing in any meaningful way.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, especially that he's wielding the influence over something like the For the People Act, which a very similar bill he co-sponsored just 2 years ago. It's desperately needed considering the bills that have been passing on the damage report. Bridget and I talked today about how many have already passed and hundreds more are pending. The issue is that what I love about this story is that it combines both forms of the assault on American democracy. You have the renewed efforts to suppress the vote as much as possible and to set up, you know, stealing of election later and that sort of thing. And then you also have Joe Manchin, who's being influenced in the old school way. Like, hypothetically, in West Virginia, you might have been able to vote to get a senator, but you don't get a senator who cares about your vote. You get a senator who cares about his donations. And all that's totally legal. They don't need to change any laws to get that sort of influence over democracy. They just pay, write out a check, you know, and they get it anytime they want.
Yeah. So one more thing. Top three donors in American politics that we can see with the naked eye, not the dark money guys, number three is the drug companies. Number one is the National Association of Realtors. And if you're wondering why you have all the shady housing stories, it's because the National Association of Realtors are buying our politicians in mass, let alone the banks. But number two is the Chamber of Commerce. They gave $80 million last year. Now, two things about that. One, that's actually the tip of the iceberg. They give a lot more in dark money. And so the what you're seeing publicly in what they give to Joe Manchin is basically an appetizer. Okay, good boy. And the reason they do it publicly, even though they can and do funnel much more money in dark money to them secretly. And we're not even allowed to see it because Joe Manchin won't allow anti-corruption measures so that we can see them, right? And in fact, that's in the For the People Act. That's why he hates it. And that's why I told you from day one, there is 0% chance that guys like Joe Manchin would vote for that. By the way, it's not just him. There's at least 10 other corporate Democrats, according to Washington Post, that are hiding behind Manchin. Go, don't let him see our donors. Don't let him see our donors. That's in the For the People Act, and it would disclose their dark money donors. And that's the last thing they want. Because then you see the whole iceberg of how deeply, deeply corrupt Joe Manchin and other corrupt corporate Democrats are, let alone the entirety of all of the Republican senators. But even the 80 million, that's the tip of the iceberg. You think the giant multinational corporations are giving $80 million to American politicians for what? Charity?
They like their style.
Like, it really, does anybody think, like, well, they gave a little bit of cancer and a little bit to heart disease, and then they gave some to politicians. Oh, they have no interest in how they're voting. And the politicians who took all those millions of dollars, they were totally unaffected because they're saints. If you think that, you're in luck. You can get a job with any mainstream media outlet. Apply now, and they'll be like, oh great, you're one of like the seven people in the country who are schmucks enough who think that our politicians are not corrupt. Come on in, there's not enough of you, we'll hire all of you. So mainstream media, where are you? This is a piece by Salon. Right, at least they're progressive, right? And it's good to have other progressives writing about this, et cetera. Mainstream media, you still haven't figured out corporate donations? You still haven't figured it out. Every reporter, every editor in the country should be fired if they don't understand that corporate donations at a bare minimum have a lot to do with how the Joe Manchins of the world vote and how they act. If they deny that, then they're obviously part of the game. They're not at all interested in challenging power. They're interested in the status quo, because guess what? Hey, look at that. They're also multi-billion dollar corporations.
Well, Cenk, that was just the appetizer. If you like Manchin, I got another one for you.
All right,
okay, as
great.
We transition to this. Let's say that hypothetically, Democrats, the media, were able to push Joe Manchin, sort of the out in front, most hardcore defender of the filibuster at this point, to switching his position. That would not necessarily be mission accomplished, because there are others, and not just in West Virginia, in much more liberal states that effectively just agree with him. They haven't received as much attention, but they're about to. Let's see, we've got Senator Dianne Feinstein, who broke with her colleagues who've been recently saying that they would choose democracy to scrapping the filibuster if Republicans try to block the For the People Act, their sweeping election reform bill. She says, if democracy were in jeopardy, I would want to protect it, but I don't see it being in jeopardy right now. She says we should just wait and see what happens with HR 1. And when asked if there were any filibuster reform measures she would support, literally come up with anything you want, she would say, I'd have to take a look. Right now, nothing comes to my mind.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. Look, Feinstein was a classic corrupt corporate Democrat for decades. The corporate media covered for her over and over and over again. As recently as her last run in 2018, she still had outrageous position. She was against the war on drugs. A Just Democrat ran against her, Allison Hartson. She now works here. And Allison obviously wanted to legalize drugs like the entire state of California. And it forced Feinstein to finally switch her position in 2018. All along, she's been like, oh no, drugs, marijuana is a gateway drug. We should make sure that the drug companies make as much money as possible with artificial. I mean, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous, okay? And she was for the death penalty. She's deeply, deeply conservative, right? Joe Sandberg recently came out very powerful and influential progressive in California saying, I made a mistake. I should have run against Feinstein in 2018. I should have done it. We cannot let this stand. But still, she's a little bit of a different situation because at this point, she's an obvious, no one disputes this, is in mental decline. Like she cannot remember what another senator, Schumer, what her staff told her yesterday. So that's why when they ask her, hey, is there anything you would do for electoral reform? She's like, oh, everything's great. Isn't it, 1990 when I'm a Republican and pretending to be a Democrat and no one ever challenges me on it? That's what the game we've all been playing, right? Because she forgot. She forgot, no, you're supposed to pretend harder these days, right? And so Gavin Newsom openly talks about who he would replace her with because every Democrat knows that I don't know what her particular disease is. I don't know if it's Alzheimer's, whatever it is, right? But she can't remember anything. She's in complete mental decline. But corporate media, nothing. Oh, no, it's totally fine. Totally fine. But Feinstein, good. And they don't even call her a conservative Democrat. This is a joke. The media is a total and utter joke. They got to get Feinstein out of the Senate instantly. But it's not just one person in mental decline who was always conservative. There's so many more. Mm-hmm. Tom Carper from Delaware is one of the most conservative senators in the whole country. Chris Coons, the other senator from Delaware, one of the most conservative Democrats for sure. But those two would rival Republicans for how anti-progressive they are in their measures. And who are they best friends with? Joe Biden. It ain't Joe Manchin, guys. We told you in previous stories, Washington Post reported there's 10 Democratic senators who are thrilled that Joe Manchin's taking all the arrows. Because if all those bills came up that are in Biden's theoretical agenda, they would all vote no on all of them. Bridget.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Feinstein said that if democracy were in jeopardy, she would want to protect it, but she does not see it being in jeopardy right now. It's difficult to hear things like that and think that we're all living in the same country. You know, when you look around, the former president just 2 weeks ago was talking about how the election was rigged and how he really won it. That repeated lie is being used to restrict voting rights all over the country, particularly for black and brown folks. It is very difficult for me to understand how someone could not see the way that our democracy is so much in peril right now. But I guess that's how she feels. I think that it really calls into question whether or not we're sort of living in the same country. But it is very frustrating to feel like she lives in a completely different country than the rest of us.
Yeah. So many Democrats aren't going to do anything about the filibuster. And even if the filibuster were gone, Joe Manchin says that he literally opposes the For the People Act now, despite having co-sponsored it in the past. So it's not looking like that's going to pass. Now, he does support the John Lewis Act, and he says, well, don't worry, that's awesome. Doesn't go nearly as far, but we can get a bunch of Republicans to support it. They're not going to support it. They have no interest in that either, obviously. So what are we going to get? What limited thing? What shield are we going to have against the nonstop onslaught against democracy from Republicans across the country? Well, We have this, I guess. Earlier today, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that the DOJ would double its voting rights staff while condemning a number of recently passed state laws and issuing a stern warning.
Ooh, stern warning.
It is strongly worded that the department would combat voter restrictions that run afoul of the law. That's sort of the issue, though. They're changing the laws. I understand he means federal law, but that needs to be strengthened too. Anyway, the Justice Department, notably during the Trump era, didn't hire a single outside attorney for the voting rights section. That's so weird. What an oversight. And left the department with just 15 voting rights lawyers, about half the number that staffed the section during the Obama years. It's almost like they didn't care about it at all. Garland says the department will also take measures to limit gerrymandering while setting guidelines for absentee and mail voting ahead of the 2022 midterm elections.
If I understand that right, he said we're going to double what they have now. That would just bring it back to where it was under Obama.
Mm-hmm. It's like the refugee cap.
Okay, wow, exactly, unfortunately. So 43 states have already passed, or there's been 43 proposed legislation. No.
But it's 22 passed, I think.
Yeah,
48 states have had them.
Well, Salon says that, this is a direct quote, Manchin isn't moved by the GOP voter suppression bills in 43 states. So they haven't passed, but they've been proposed in 43 states. And they have passed in dozens of states.
Yes.
And so Feinstein's like, I don't see it. Manchin says, well, if there's a problem with democracy, then we should step into action. And I'm just trying to protect democracy. Well, no, but they already passed the laws. Mm-hmm. They already passed them in the red states. And now Merrick Garland comes in and says, we will uphold the law. Yeah, but the states administered the elections, and their laws now are that not as many black and brown people get the vote. So how would upholding those laws help to actually bring voting rights to as many American citizens as possible?
No, it's super easy. You know, if federal law and state law disagree, then theoretically it'll just work its way through the courts up to the Supreme Court. Oh, wait. Yeah. There's some issues there. I'll grant you that. Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, in a democracy, we should be making it easier for folks to vote, not harder. And it's pretty obvious that that's not what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, one of the weirdest bits of news of the day is coming up, as well as Tucker Carlson hosting an insanely creepy weirdo guest to talk about AOC having kids or not. We've got that coming up after this.
Back on TYT. First, and you need to panic. Too Strong Coffee has Father's Day bundles. They're great deals. I'm doing the caffeinated dad bundle, which makes sense because I am quite the caffeinated dad. I shot a super goofy ad for it. You'll see soon.
Oh, no.
My son was the director, and you hear my kids. I am very surprised by the Too Strong Coffee I got for Father's Day. Anyway,
be more surprised, Dad.
But the special is going to run out on Monday because you guys got to get it in time for Father's Day. Okay, so that's why I'm kidding around about panicking. TooStrongCoffee.com/TYT, and a lot of them have the mugs in it, and Uprising and Rebel Roast brands, etc. John, you wanted to say something.
Yes, every once in a while, fans of the show will send in awesome things that, you know, either feature dragons prominently or sometimes things that they make. We've had mugs sent in and glassworks and art and metalwork and stuff like that. Well, Dirge sent in this awesome dragon themed dice bag for me because he knows that I'm a nerd. I just wanted to thank Dirge. Normally I thank people on the pre-show, but today's a Friday, so thank you, Dirge, for sending this. I'm gonna get some use out of it over the weekend.
All right, rock and roll, wonderful. Now, speaking of the members, let's talk more about that. Little Mac McGee wrote in the member section, I wonder when it'll be my turn to get millions of dollars from corporations because they love donating money at random without care of what's in it for them. Nice job. That's a great comment. I wish I did that in the middle of the story, but it's hard to keep up with all the comments as I'm yelling. But yes, but isn't it amazing? We all laugh. I mean, we literally, everyone in the studio just LOL'd, right? Every mainstream media journalist actually believes that. Oh, it's just totally random. Well, the Chamber of Commerce gives money to politicians randomly. The drug companies give randomly.
If you ask Jake Tapper, is a corporate donation a bribe, what would he say?
Oh, he would be outraged. He would literally be outraged.
He wouldn't pretend to get it? Like, No.
He would be, he would say, he would try to get you off the air. I'm not kidding.
Well, he kept me off the air.
By the way, that actually literally happened to me when I ran for Congress. I kept calling them bribes, and the media was livid over it.
Yeah.
What? You're supposed to challenge the powerful, you schmucks. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just they were neutral; they would yell at me. It's just unbelievable.
They get bribed with campaign ads.
They do. It's totally right. Mickey C. the Silver-Haired Dragon says, Jake, you're asking the right wing to be logical. We want to let immigrants in to vote Dem, yet Biden isn't letting them in. Kind of like it's the left who stormed the Capitol because they wanted to stop the count that would prove they won. That's their logic. Exactly. No logic at all. All right. And a new member, 00083, hit the join button below. Love you for it. We're right back. Back on TYT, Cenk, John, and Bridget with you guys. I'm going to just read one quick YouTube super chat. Trisha Briggs wrote in, been a while since my last super chat. Awesome power panel today and major props for Indisputable. Fantastic show. Love that it's part of the TYT network.
Nice.
Right there with you, sister. Dr. Rashad Ritchie is literally indisputable. So subscribe for free at youtube.com/TYT Indisputable. You get to see his live show. You get to see the clips afterwards. And then, of course, if you're a member here, you can catch any of our shows anytime. Hit the join button below or tyt.com/join. But anyway, we're super proud of Rashad, and it's a wonderful new show. It's right after Damage Report. And you just keep on watching the network right after that. It's at 2:30 p.m. Eastern every day. All right, John.
Okay, this should be a fun one. The Senate recently passed a bill, a $247 billion bill to, they say, increase American competitiveness in scientific research. But one area of that research has caused Fox News to lose it a little bit. Now, this is about science, so I go to Fox to know how to think about things like this. Here is Fox News's Tammy Bruce.
Human chimeras living among us, it's only science fiction for right now. Yesterday, the Senate passed the Endless Frontier Act, a bill that commits nearly $250 billion to promote emerging technologies so that America can keep pace with Chinese innovation. Back in May, Democrats shot down an important amendment outlawing U.S. participation in research that would create human-animal hybrids. Chimeric research is a Pandora's box, that's obviously from hell, that should not be opened. But the scientific community, spurred on by their own hubris, may very well open it using American taxpayer dollars. And if that happens, the Democrats will have blood on their hands for not joining the GOP and stopping it when they had a chance. Give me your take on the seriousness of this. China's doing it and what we have to be aware of.
You know, Tammy, one of the things that strikes me the most about this story is there's an old adage, you know, be careful of what you don't know. And that has never been more true than with this subject. What exactly do we not know here?
So much you don't know. What do you know? We can save some time. Wait, I understand that this is not the focus of the story. We're going to be talking about chimeric research and all that. And I'm going to say the word chimera more, as much as I've always dreamed to, but never been able to. She just said it's from hell. A Fox host just said a piece of legislation was from the Christian hell. That was on Fox News. It wasn't the 700 Club. And then she just moved on.
Yeah, Fox News is taking their scaremongering and fearmongering to an entire new level, talking about how legislation is literally from hell.
That is amazing. Okay, so what is it? Because they want to know. They want to know what they don't know and all that stuff. Well, chimeric research, which makes human-animal hybrids in very loose terms. She just puts up a picture of the outline of a head and a pig. It doesn't make pig people. This isn't an episode of Seinfeld. That's not actually what they're doing. Now, yes, you can create chimeras. They are human-animal hybrids, but they're not half human, half bat. Okay, Christian Bale, calm down. You're not being replaced by the real thing. The amendment, which they tried to pass, defines human-animal chimera as various combinations of human and non-human DNA, such as a human embryo into which non-human cells have been introduced, making the species of the embryo uncertain. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with this because that's not actually true. What you need to know is chimeras are like when a mouse is given rat DNA, so a mouse grows a rat's liver, so that we can learn about the possible application of making organs that can be transplanted into humans. So for instance, right now, you can in some ways grow organs in pigs and put them into humans, but the human immune system is likely to reject them. That's the way it works. Now, in theory, if you could get a healthy human heart with human DNA to grow in a pig, it'd be much more likely to be accepted in a human body. We do experiments where very briefly embryos of certain types of animals will have some human DNA in them. They don't last, they don't come out with human arms on the side of a giraffe. That's not how any of this works, and it takes literally seconds to figure that out.
Okay, so first of all, if you watch Fox News, you would think that we're using federal government money for this. Of course we're not. Right? You would think that we're combining man and pig and perhaps bear, but no, we're not doing any of that. In terms of it, nothing has ever been born. These are embryos, okay? Now, I know the pro-life people are like, no, I can't exist for a nanosecond because I'm pro-life. But wait, we're trying to create these organs that would save people's lives. No, let them die. Let them die. Which party are you from? Pro-life party. Okay, maybe you should find a different word because I'm not sure you know what that word means. Mm-hmm. And then, so look guys, if you were having a real conversation about this, which we're going to try to do here a little bit, it's very interesting and it's not that you shouldn't be at all concerned. So like when you have, when they tried it with pigs, again, embryo, they're all in petri dishes. There's no human pig combo that's ever been born, right? But even then, the human genes that stick in those embryos is 1 out of 100,000. So it's nearly, it basically doesn't work, is my layman's interpretation of that. John knows a little bit about it more than I do, right? But when they tried it with monkeys. Now this is where it gets interesting. The genes they saw in those cells were 3 to 4%, 3 to 4% human, and one got up to as much as 7% human. Now I'm getting uncomfortable, okay? And you don't have to believe that it's from hell or anything like that, and it's not a Satan's spawn, mm-hmm. right?
But well, there's one island where a Dr. Moreau has been doing some pretty interesting research. But beyond that, I don't think they've made anything we should be too worried about.
Yeah. No, it hasn't been made. Absolutely not. Nothing's ever born. We don't use US government money. And it's not done in the US. It's done in China, right? Mm-hmm. So all those things are misleading. I want to let Bridget come in, and then I want to ask John a question about the substance. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist who knows the ins and outs of this, but it really just sounds like another way for the right to fearmonger more anti-science, anti-choice rhetoric. I would be interested to know more about this technology and this research, but again, because they have to take it to this extreme, they have to say this is from hell, you're going to see pigmen, all of this. We can't even have a measured conversation about what's actually happening in reality because they're too busy with their anti-science fearmongering.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely settled. We're clear on that one. But John, mm-hmm. if you can get the 4% or 7% human, theoretically you could get 25% human. And now if you have an embryo, theoretically it could be implanted.
Okay, so as far as I have seen, and I'm not an expert either, they're not creating like true mixtures that are 25%. Like they have, there's remnants of DNA, or there's one, like one organ or something like that. And always of species that are very close together. This isn't chimpanzee and octopus. I know we've all wanted that. That's not what it is. It's mouse and rat. It's human and chimp. It's things that are already genetically as close as possible to each other.
Yes, but what does Beelzebub think?
I don't know. He sent it, I guess. My fear is that, look, first of all, they know exactly what they're doing at Fox News. They put this out there, and what do you think people on Facebook are gonna do with this segment? Okay, they already think there's lizard people out there. And my worry in this area is that a conspiracy theory is always gonna do best when it's a little bit easier to accept, when you, it seems like there's evidence of it. So for instance, they're gonna start to look out there and say, well, there's a senator from West Virginia. He has traits of a dog sometimes. Kentucky, possible turtle hybrid. There's a possum senator right now in Texas. And so really irresponsible people are gonna run with this thing, and God knows what they're gonna believe in a few months.
John, you were counterproductive there, because now all of a sudden, man turtle, I mean, we've all seen it. We've all seen it. And speaking of which, I mean, look at John, half human, half dragon.
That's true.
Okay, a little bit of a chimera right there. No wonder he's covering up for other chimeras. No, but seriously, look, it's not impossible. And so
bring it on. Honestly, what are we holding on to with this world, with this society? Bring it on.
No, don't bring it on.
Half raccoon dog, I'd take that.
No, they're not gonna do that. But what they but the genes of a human inside of a monkey embryo is fascinating. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't need to pass bills about non-existent things we're not actually doing in America, and we can't make the Chinese stop, right?
Yeah, well, how would
it's like when they voted to make sure that there'd be no Sharia law in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. Okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a real danger. But if Chinese, the North Koreans, etc., and you have this and it has some degree, I don't know. If I go any further, I'm way out of my league on science.
There are going to be town halls where there's going to be 100 parents like, stop experimenting on my kid with chimpanzee genes. Tomorrow, watch, you're going to see it. This is unfortunately C-SPAN footage. Oh my God, it's working.
I guarantee you that this was part of what drove it.
Oh, sweet tooth, you ruined us.
Okay, no, I'm serious. I guarantee you that the right wingers watch. Look, man, I know older folks who don't understand that movies aren't real. Okay.
No.
So, yeah, and then you put in the right wingers, you put in right wingers and the things that they think, and then you sprinkle in Satan.
Yeah.
Right? They're gonna say, oh, sweet tooth, that's that sound. We knew it. I saw it right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
You can see, but I have a mermaid tail. I don't actually have legs. I have a mermaid tail. I'm a half woman, half fish. You guys can see it.
I saw that movie. Anyway, we got to move on. I will leave you with a thought experiment. If you do create a human monkey hybrid, have you improved a human or ruined a monkey? Think about that for a little bit. Anyway, let's move on to this. Speaking of fertilization, be careful what you wish for, Tucker Carlson, as we move into this. Tucker Carlson had a guest on to talk about, I swear, this is a conversation about the use of pronouns that people prefer, which turns into a conversation about how the left hates sex and doesn't want babies to be born somehow. And it gets even worse from there. Take a look.
What are the more subtle implications of a declining fertility rate?
Well, most people point to the economy as the driver of the problem. People just aren't having kids because they can't afford it. And I think there's actually a cultural driver going on, Tucker. Really, there's this cultural dogma that's telling little girls that their greatest value in society is to the extent that they can maneuver to monetize their talents and abilities. You saw this over Mother's Day weekend with prominent publications, prominent feminists who were really denigrating motherhood and extolling intentional childlessness. You can see it in the Biden plan to $225 billion to have nationalized daycare to get bodies into the workforce. It's essentially, Tucker, you could say, handmaids of capitalism that's being pushed. When the truth of the matter is, women still want to be mothers. And they're essentially cauterizing their hearts to put off having children, put off having more than one child, to go into the workforce, establish their careers for it first, and they run out of time.
Okay, I apologize. That is Rebecca Heinrichs of the Hudson Institute trying to take the obvious and fair critique that the GOP is being modeled after Gilead and Handmaid's Tale to just flip everything on its head. But we don't have much time, so I want to play the third video for this block so we can combine our commentary of that. It's feminism has ruined women and has trained them to not want kids, and now it's going to get even creepier.
Men and women come together and create new life. Like, the whole thing is repulsive to them. Why is that?
Well, I think it's because it started with the feminist movement that they felt that that impaired a woman's future. But I think it also reflects reality, Tucker, that the age when people are getting married, having children, buying a home, buying a house has gone from mid-20s to mid-30s. And our crisis right now is that we're not reproducing ourselves. We're about 1.8 rather than 2.1 or 2. And we're suffering from what? Prolonged adolescence. These children, they have adult bodies, but they have the minds of children. They don't want to grow up. AOC is a good example of a person who's suffering from prolonged adolescence, but they just don't want to take off their training wheels and go out and experience life and its adventures and dangers.
So AOC, I believe at the time that she was elected, the youngest congresswoman in American history, is a prolonged adolescent, the body of an adult, but really a child's mind. She's only fundamentally changed the way the entire United States thinks about climate policy and a number of other things, raising it to the top of our political awareness. But she's basically just a child's brain in an adult's body.
That's why you guys spend 24/7 attacking her, because she's not important, right? Mm-hmm. If she's just a child, that's why 80% of your programming centers around her. Okay, so but let's now go to the heart of the issue here. And there was an interesting stew of talking points in there. And there was one in there that was really interesting. So first, you have the standard Fox News stuff. Women, what are you doing? Get back in the kitchen and in the bedroom. Your job is to make babies, your baby machines, because we need boys. I mean, yeah, I guess you make girls every once in a while too, but that's not important. We're gonna control their bodies too. So before they were like, hey, we don't want you to have choice over your own body in reproductive issues. Now they're going further. No, you must create babies, right? Mm-hmm. And so, no, I don't want you going to work. Get back at home, but you saw it right there. They're like, we have a fertility problem. If you watch the longer clips of those, Tucker's like obsessed with fertility. By the way, of course, he doesn't mean for all Americans. Let's keep it real. In other segments, they have talked about how white people are having fertility issues, mm-hmm. and as a former congressman King said, we can't reproduce our civilization with other people's babies. Okay, and they're particularly concerned about Latino babies in this case, because they think they have high fertility rates and white people don't. And so they're saying, no, it's a trick, white people. Okay. And now the second part of that, like, that's 1955, that it reveals their complete hand. They're totally sexist. It's the most sexist thing in the world, that to view women as just basically chattel to produce babies for themselves. And then the second portion of it is, it's totally disconnected from today's reality. Why do you think women are in the workforce? Why do you think like both partners are constantly working? Because you can't make enough money. The wages are so damn low. If you have two minimum wage workers in a family, then they work the entire year with no days off. Congratulations, your family combined, both of you together, made a little over $30,000. Not individually, the whole family. So you want the mom to go and you want them to have a kid and all the expenses of a kid. Now that only the dad's working and he's making $15,000. How the hell are they gonna afford that? They're not having kids because they're being rational. They have no earthly prayer of being able to afford it. And who created that? You created that, Tucker Carlson. Fox News created that. Republicans created that. Lower wages, crush them, right? And to this day, you're still arguing against higher wages for American workers. But then comes the really interesting and weird part of it. Handmaids of capitalism? And it, several times in that segment, both his guest and Tucker Carlson spoke out against capitalism. What in the world is going on at Fox News? They have created some sort of weird chimera.
It's fake populism.
Right? Of populism and that's anti-capitalist
while pushing for laws that are uber capitalist, that are massively runaway capitalism, but disguising it as, of all things, to sell it to the Fox News audience as socialism. Mm-hmm. They're like, don't worry guys, we hate capitalism, go socialism. The real problem is the goddamn capitalists are making the women work. How is that for topsy-turvy?
I think you're exactly right. I mean, this is such an insult to women. They know their policies have failed women, so they're just trying to paint feminism as this boogeyman because they have nothing else to offer. You know, women, especially women of color, are really struggling economically right now. And if Republicans really cared about fostering the next generation of young women, they would really be advocating for things like paid leave, abortion access, raising the minimum wage. But just this past week, they voted against the Paycheck Fairness Act. So I don't know why they're acting like they don't know why some women are delaying motherhood. It's economic instability, and I think their policies are really what got us here.
Yeah. And by the way, a super fast last point, the Weirdo Heritage Foundation guy that they had, he at least acknowledged briefly that, you know, they say it's because of $1.7 trillion in student loan debt and the economy's doing really bad, but let's move on and pretend that they're in training wheels. Again, super weird to say that someone's on training wheels when they ran for and primaried out a Democrat and became a congresswoman. But really fast, let's bring up this chart. Here is maybe what you could do if you want people to have more kids. When you ask people why they're having fewer, childcare is too expensive, 64% say. Let's see, they want more time with the children they have, not much you're gonna do about that, but worried about the economy, can't afford more children, waited because of financial instability. Let's see, there's no paid family leave, comes up twice there, global instability. There's a lot of stuff there that in theory, the government could do to help. Look at that, the number one thing, 64% is childcare. Well, why don't we have some sort of system of government childcare? If you want to make sure that people feel free to have all the babies that you want, well, that's one way that you could do it. But he's not going to engage with that.
I've got to say two last things. One is a comment on that. All the Republicans just voted against childcare. So if you're pro-life and you want people to have more babies, why in the God's green earth would you vote against childcare? You would do that because you don't really care about any of those things. You want to crush the average American and you want the corporations to get everything. So Tucker Carlson's propaganda is now at a different level of devious. He now understands the right wing populism also despises multinational corporations that run our lives. So he's now flipping it and helping them by pretending to be against them. Mm-hmm. The minute he actually advocates for laws that check corporate rule, I'll give him credit, we do it all the time, right? But he doesn't, he loves corporate rule while pretending to be against it. Now finally, Bridget, I gotta ask you a question. So they made assumptions about AOC's intentions, right? She has said comments before about how she's concerned about having kids for all the same reasons many young women are. And she's also said she was looking forward to having kids, but they, for the purposes of lying to their audience, they pretended that she was against having kids herself and that it was because of climate change. Now, as you saw in the poll there, I don't know where climate change was, but it wasn't at the very top, mm-hmm. right? It was real economic concerns that were at the top. But Bridget, how much agency does it take away from women for these men to be talking on air about what you should do and how you should be having babies? And I cannot understand Republican women. I just cannot understand them that look at that and go, yeah, oh yeah, I can't wait for these guys, these old creepy guys to control my body.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is so insulting and infantilizing. The way they talk about AOC just in general is disgusting. But first they talk about her like she's some sort of girl, like the body of a woman and a girl's head, you know, and then they go on to infantilize her, talking about what she should be doing with her body. These are people who their entire mission in life is to control women and our bodies and make decisions that should be ours on our behalf. And yeah, it's completely infantilizing and very insulting. I think any woman, whether you decide to have children or not, whether you're a parent or not, should hear this and be really insulted by the way that these old white men are talking about our bodies and what we should and should not do with them.
Yeah, and wait till they get a load of Bridget's podcast. It's No Girls on the Internet. So when Tucker Carlson gets a load of that, he's definitely doing a story. We knew it! There's less babies because of Bridget!
She says there's no girls on the internet. And you work for Ultraviolet, which is a feminist group. Oh my God, they're going to have a field day with that. Good luck with that. All right, guys, we're way out of time. Everybody check out Damage Report. Everybody check out No Girls on the Internet. Bridget, you're wonderful for joining us. We appreciate it. When we come back, Ben Dixon's going to join us. And we have more insanity from both Republicans and, unfortunately, Democrats. Okay. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.